2024 comparison. Typically in the past, I've done month versus month, and I just wanted to switch things up a little bit differently today to show, you know, kind of what happens during the summer to our parking activity when we transition from May to June. Of course, with school ending and summer beginning, we see a little bit of a decrease in activity during the summertime. So just want to make sure you're aware of this. It's this June 24 versus May of 24. And you can see across the board, all of our parking activity goes down. And this is expected. And I was taking a look at previous years. And this is par for the course. So nothing to be alarmed about, I would say, or nothing too special here, except, you know, you can see the double digit decreases in percentages for the parking activity. So, you know, May of 24, which is a very, very busy month for us, goes down, you know, for Pennington Garage, for example, we see a $20,000 decrease, 34%. Depot, about a $6,000 decrease. Central Garage, a $10,000 decrease.
Yep.
Library goes down 30%. City State down 1,000. Tool Lot, and that's a popular lot on the weekends and evenings for visitors, and also for permit holders as well. That goes down dramatically by over half. Triangle Lot down 1,000. Arts District down 42%, Franklin Lot down 30%, and the Warehouse Lot down 18%, or about $300. So looking back over the years, this is typical. And just want to bring that to everyone's attention. Keep in mind, during the summer, we do see a drop. And we all know that living in Tucson, some of the population disappears. So just want to highlight that.
Yeah, okay. It's a good time to bring it back up and make sure it's aware. But, you know, as somebody who whose parents owned a restaurant in Tucson that would see decreases in revenue of up to 50% on this transition, kind of used to it.
Got it. So I'll take any questions or comments or requests regarding the lot revenue.
No, I think I don't have any. Just Glenn or Janine?
I'm good.
Okay. No, I'm good. Thank you.
Okay.
We got one request thing, though. You sound like a DJ.
I'm sorry? I didn't catch you, Glenn. Oh, you're muted if you're talking. There you go.
No, I said, like you say, or request. I'm like, you DJ.
Oh, great. I'll take requests. Any requests, I'll take. Yes.
Sorry about that.
No, that's good. I wanted to provide an update on the residential parking permit program expenses and revenues. And this was continuing our discussion from last month. The numbers I'm going to show you are updated numbers. These are the 24, fiscal year 24 expenses and revenues. So, going over here. Now, we had two methods that we were using. One was a 10% across the board, taking all the costs of Park Tucson's staff members' time. That's the agents and all the wages. And you can see this. These are all the wages here of all of our staff. Taking everything to account, 10% of that is $122,000. Backing up to the revenue. In 2024, the gross revenue from the residential permit program was $111,000. And we're calculating our wages plus the permit supplies and office supplies. Taking all that into account, we're showing in the red by $34,000, which is very similar to the numbers that we presented last month for the 2023 numbers. So pretty similar when we use this type of calculation. And the other method that we used was, what I'll show you here is, we did the assigned a percentage to each of the service type of our staff. So for customer service, 40% of their time, senior accountants, 30%, management assistant down the board, we assigned percentages. And then we also applied 1.5 agents to the cost of patrolling at any one time. We did use the average salary of the agents there. So getting back to use the same revenue, of course, and using that calculation, we're down $53,000. So just wanted to give you those numbers, very similar to the 23 numbers. So we are calculating this correctly. One thing that we are running a report on is citation revenue. We're going to hopefully have that report ready very soon. And you can use citation revenue to offset some of these costs. You know, it is another revenue source. And we'll present those numbers at the next meeting. This is kind of a health check again on the 2024 residential parking permit program costs and revenues. So I'll take any questions on this.
Do we have any?
I'm good.
Okay.
Are we going to present this same information again on Tuesday?
Yes. Okay. Absolutely. Yes. Yep, Tuesday. The agenda should be coming out later today or tomorrow, and it'll be a very minimal agenda with the Neighborhood Reinvestment Program highlighting the agenda.
Okay, I think we move on.
Great. Yes, item number 5, segue to the Neighborhood Reinvestment Program. So similar to what we spoke about on Tuesday, just let me try to get this up. I apologize. This. Okay, we should have that up. This is the what I'm describing as the injects to the program. As you recall, on Tuesday, I provided alternate programs or calculations to calculate the revenue accumulation and different criteria to allocate funding. So I just want to highlight the changes. Originally, there was a 25% participation level threshold, and we received feedback that neighborhoods were in favor of that. We also determined that it's unfeasible that neighborhoods would achieve that on a consistent basis. So the alternate proposed program attributes remove the minimum participation threshold. So the 25% isn't used as a mechanism to unlock the funds. So just going through the key program attributes. The sold residential and paid visitor permits still factor into the participation percentage to qualify for funds. Free visitor passes do not qualify. So we still use the participation percentage to arrive at your earned funds. So it's still the sold residential permits divided by the available, and then you multiply those out and you get your earned funds. We remove the 25% threshold. Earned funds are carried over and can be used for project in the current year. We're removing in these alternate proposals, removing the minimum threshold of a $4,000 surplus as a condition of reinvestment. This $4,000 surplus refers to the RPP, and those are the costs that I just reviewed with you on the previous item. So this basically gets scratched out, and the costs are no longer a factor. We just do not consider costs of operating the program as a condition. So that gets deleted. Spend thresholds. We've heard different comments from lower minimums to higher maximums, and the alternates that I put together show a minimum of 1,000 to a maximum of 12,000. Whereas the previous, and I should have left that in there, I apologize. The original plan shows a minimum of 4,000 and original maximum of 10,000. So from the window of 4 to 10, we've expanded it to 1 to 12. And that accommodates some smaller projects or some bigger projects, you know, that the neighborhoods might be interested in. Alternate number 2 is establishing a $3,000 cap each year on the individual neighborhood accumulated funds. So regardless of how much earned funds the neighborhood could earn, they can earn up to $3,000. If they earn below $3,000, they get every dollar. But if they earn above $3,000, it's capped at $3,000. The other related criteria is that we establish a spend limit for Park Tucson on these projects of $60,000 per year. So this is the total amount for combined neighborhood projects. So if 5 neighborhoods wanted to do a project at $12,000 each, that could be paid for. Or if 2 neighborhoods wanted to do the larger projects, that the $60,000 per year spend cap is proposed. Still open to discussion on that. I am planning to meet with my leadership about this as well. But this is proposed right now in the alternate. And also carry forward funds based on a $500 minimum. The question are these minimums necessary? I did receive comments that it's not necessary. So in the alternates that I've listed, this criteria is removed. So it's in the original, but it's been removed from the alternates. Neighborhoods that operate with deficits for 3 years may be terminated from the program. So we still want to look at that. As far as previous year's accumulated funds, as of this time, the intent is to honor previously calculated funds. So everything up to 24 that was previously calculated at the previous criteria would still be kept in their funds. And I do have a question mark there just for the commission's and the committee's consideration is if that is agreeable or not. So that's that. And then going back to the fund revenue sources, these are all the same as the original, except in alternate number 1, it's only 10% of the non-residential permits. In the original proposal and in alternate number 2, we're still basing the calculated funds based on 100% of the non-residential permits. But in alternate number 1, we reduced that down to 10%. Alternate number 2 would just put a $3,000 cap. And it's interesting that the end result of alternate 1 at the 10% non-res and alternate number 2 at the cap they're very close together in the amount of money that would be accumulated per year. It's just under, it's around $30,000. I'll show that again here in a moment. We still have shared parking permits, and of course we deduct for project expenditures. That's all the same. Overall solvency, once again, we're scratching this out. None. No overall solvency for the RPP in the alternates. The original proposal does have this $4,000 solvency, but as mentioned before, that would essentially, based on the cost that we've calculated, render no funds be provided to any neighborhoods. Opportunity to accumulate surpluses. The surplus deficit is carried over to create an account. And once again, that has a lot to do with costs. You can also consider project expenditures, you know, to leading to a deficit. But in any case, we want $1,000 minimum before a spend can be made. And in alternate number 2, once again, a $3,000 cap for accumulating funds. Number 3 here, establishing a sufficient fund balance. We've reduced that down to $1,000 as opposed to $4,000 to allow some of the smaller neighborhoods, the lower participating neighborhoods, a chance to achieve a limit where they can actually spend quicker. Of course, these funds are still limited to right-of-way improvements. As far as confidence in the accuracy of the program's accounting, in the alternate proposals, the costs are not factored. So we scratch all that out. Individual neighborhoods that operate with deficits for 3 years will be terminated from the program. We still want to keep that in as a maybe or a criteria that we can lean back on if things do go south. So that's kind of a safeguard for the neighborhoods and for the Park Tucson to make sure we're not losing any more money. Mm-hmm. And the last one we've scratched out. We don't feel that reducing permit fees is a viable alternate for the accumulated surpluses. We still want to keep the permit fees as is right now.
Okay.
So just for some comparisons, what I'm showing here is the original. We're just looking at 23 here. So this is the way the original calculations are done. If you look at Armory Park, just to grab one example, they have a lot of meter income here. So that's always been 10% of the meter income. And then you get the residential permit revenue, the non-res permit revenue. You get your total. You multiply that by your participation percentage, and you wind up with your earned funds. So that's essentially how that works. The alternates, so this is alternate number one, and this I've highlighted the 10% of non-res. So this is the main difference here. 10% takes their contributions quite down, you know, to from $7,000 to $755. You get your total amount, you apply the participation percentage again, and you wind up with your earned funds. And once again, it's $1,000 for the minimum spend threshold to a maximum of 12. So you basically take that all down. You can see Dunbar Spring, because they didn't get that $1,000, they're not able to spend that. However, they still carry forward. These funds still carry forward to help them accumulate year over year their fund balance. So that's the main difference, the 10%. It does affect neighborhoods like Armory Park. It affects, let's see, Feldman's is a big one. And Rincon Heights, you know, they go from, you know, over $40,000 down to $4,000 in that category. And West University is also affected. So essentially our max payout for the year, Park Tucson will only be looking at, you know, $28,000 worth of projects as opposed to almost $60,000, you know. So it does cut our potential spends in half. The earned funds are still there at 37, but because of the $1,000 threshold, it takes it down to about 28 for us for the year. And that's more palatable for Park Tucson. So I'll take any questions on the alternate number one. I know this is a lot of numbers. Mm-hmm. If there's no questions on alternate one, I'll move over to alternate two.
Yeah. Glenn or Janine, do you have any questions?
Tom, I appreciate, you know, you're really trying to figure this out. It's turned into a bottomless rabbit hole.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, it really has. And we need to start paring this down a little bit. And to get these numbers put at you and everything else, it's hard to digest and come up with, you know, what's fair, what's this or that. So I have to fall back to, you know, the role of this committee, and that is working out the best financial situation for Park Tucson. Right. So, you know, forgetting about taking care of the neighborhoods or anything like that. Not that that's important. I just kind of, I have to limit my focus then to comprehend this. And something like this seems to be, you know, when you're showing a loss of 168,000 or 300,000 a year, a better suited situation where you're only potentially liable for 28 versus 56.
Right.
Yep.
Understood.
I agree with Glenn, and I will comment that, you know, this, the initial purpose of this is long since past as to what the what Park Tucson was trying to accomplish back then, and it was that they their rates hadn't been changed in since since the residential permit program started, and I think they had a rate of like $2 or $5 or something like that for a permit for the year, you know, and it was infinitesimally small and the losses were much bigger. Now we're kind of getting into that same point because inflation's kind of taking over, expenses going up, and it's an ongoing issue of, you know, how much can you return? So I think this seems to be, at least from my initial response, I think it is a step in the right direction. And, and I think it's a valuable program as somebody who, as not a parking neighbor, not somebody subject to this, but as the president of my local homeowners association, we actually removed a parking facility or a traffic calming device just from our neighborhood because everybody could not manage to get around the corner without driving over the top of it. So our neighborhood, you know, I'm sitting here, became the first neighborhood in the history of the city to actually have the voting process of, you know, putting in those devices to actually take one out. But of course, we're not part of the parking program, so we had to write the $8,000 check ourselves.
So. Money well spent.
Yeah, it was money well spent. I mean, you know, we had like 85% of the neighborhood signed the petition, so it's easy.
Oh, that's some good participation.
Yeah. Anyway, I don't want to lose that was the point of why this was created, was to try to give some benefit to them of getting the of dealing with the huge parking increase that we put in at that time, and it really hasn't been changed since, so we're kind of building to that point again, but I think this is a good step in the right direction. Go ahead.
Thank you very much. Yeah, it goes back to the goals of the program that, you know, the goals of the RPP are to provide a place for the residents to park on the street if they choose to buy a permit. That's the main goal. It's not to keep people away. It's to provide you with a spot in front of your home if you choose to need to buy a permit. So
right.
Good to keep that in mind.
Yeah.
So moving to alternate number two, you see that the main difference here is the $3,000 cap. So the same calculations for the revenue sources, we're using 100% of the non-res still. So that's 100% there, but there's a cap across the board. So after taking your revenue, applying your participation percentage, Armory Park, for example, even though they've earned $8,200, they're capped at $3,000 for the earned funds for that year, and their carry forward is $3,000. So, across the board, you know, there's some neighborhoods that don't even get $3,000, and the rest of these neighborhoods don't. But there are neighborhoods, for example, North University, they would have seen $9,000 in the original program. They're capped at $3,000. Rincon Heights from $7,800 to $3,000. Sam Hughes from $9,800 to $3,000. And West University from $13,000 to $3,000. So the total exposure because of the $3,000 cap, is $26,000 to park Tucson. I did leave this the 60 in here for the earned funds, just for a comparison, when using the cap. So it's really the $26,000, and with the minimum $1,000, we're only exposed to really 25.8. There's just a couple of like Dunbar Spring, you take out $50 there, and High Island only made $885. So we're only exposed to $25,000. So very similar to the $28,000 that we saw in the 10%, and that's the essential difference there with the alternates. So I'll take any questions or requests.
Just a quick question. Obviously, your total liability at any one point is 72,000, right? 14 times 3. Or whatever you're talking about, not 42.
Correct. Yeah.
All right, that's fine. You know, that's nothing. But so I guess the question, going back and not just thinking financially, these neighborhoods, West University, Rincon Heights, Army Park, how will this go over? With them, probably not, right?
Right. So, yeah, I agree.
So, are we back to square one?
Well, I'm going to continue doing outreach. I did speak with Sam Hughes yesterday afternoon, Gail, with the Neighborhood Association President Sam Hughes. I explained both, and she said okay, that she understands. She was okay. So, you know, I explained that it would, you know, one alternate, you know, you're losing almost $7,000, and that might be where we end up with. And she said okay. So I wasn't expecting that, but I know that, for example, North University felt that this is unfair. You know, that was a public speaker during Tuesday's.
Was going to be my takeaway.
Yeah. So,
okay.
Yeah. So, you know, whatever one, you know, that we go with, you know, there, it affects neighborhoods differently. With the 10%, they'd be losing $10,000 here, you know. With the $3,000 cap, North University is losing $6,000, versus the original program, which they would get zero because the overall program isn't solvent. So, okay. You know, it depends, I guess, how they hear the story. And you're right, they're different neighborhoods are going to have different impacts.
I would be surprised if, at least in 80% of the time, that the neighborhood's going to be smart enough to figure out which is the best for them.
Right. And I think it's fair to say that we have to have one consistent methodology for all the neighborhoods. We're not going to, you know, have different methodologies for different neighborhoods. Right. So it's, you know, different neighborhoods have different types of activity. And these are the alternates that we think can address, for the most part, you know, the whole program.
Right. I agree with that.
And quite honestly, you know, if you go this way, you can give into the percentage of meter net income and anything, right? Of course, that income seems to be in the neighborhoods that are maxing out anyway. Mm-hmm. I was trying to see if that would help, like Dunbar Springs or somebody.
Yeah.
Barrio Viejo. No. That would probably make it worse. You know, so, we'll throw 100% of that in there, but it only capping you at 3.
Right.
Yeah, okay. In other words, that's why you make the big bucks, Tom.
Oh, man. Well, I just hope that, you know, I'm going to be reaching out to neighborhoods again to make sure. Now, the wards have all received the information. Ward 1, 3, and 6 all received these documents today. So I do assume that they're spreading the word to their neighborhood associations. And I know that Jeffrey Stewart has provided this to all the campus community neighborhoods as well. So definitely still hearing, want to be open to comments, and I'll definitely share those with you.
Okay. I think that's it. I think that's kind of where we're at. We need to hear what the feedback is. So,
right.
Yeah. So, shall we move on?
Okay, I'm going to relinquish my computer to Trudy for item number 6, the financial statements. Hi, Trudy.
Hello. All right. So, these are the reports for June of 2024. Keep in mind that we are at year end, so we are still closing. Can you guys see my screen?
Yeah, gotcha. But, well, I don't know. I'm still seeing on that end.
We're still seeing.
Can you try to stop sharing, Tom? Because mine shows me I'm sharing.
Yeah, I can just see Tom's one from before.
Yeah, that's universal. Here we go.
Oh, now we're getting somewhere.
Yep.
All right, can we see the financials now?
No, we're still looking at the screen with the participants in the meeting.
Yeah, mine is frozen. I can hear you guys fine, but the screen is frozen.
Yeah. So, Tom, you are not sharing, is that right?
Correct, I'm not sharing.
Try again. What is it, Tiffany? Is that leaving? I don't know what's happened, guys.
Okay, so if you tried that again, what I could do is I can bring up the financial statement that you provided. And I can share my screen if that's okay. That seems to work. Okay. And can you guys see the financial statement?
There we got it now. Mm-hmm.
Sure can.
Okay, Trudy, just give me instructions.
Okay. If we can go to the next page.
Okay.
All right. Okay, so we are just looking at the balance sheet here. And what I was saying is that we are closing out FY 2024. We do have a few more weeks before we are not allowed to post to FY 2024 anymore. So this is going to be most of the year, but it won't be all of the year. So at our next meeting, I should have a full report for you guys on how FY 24 is going to close out.
Yeah. So can you do the 13th period like the rest of the city?
So since we moved to our new system, we don't really have a period 13 anymore.
Okay.
What we call it is year-end adjustment book. And so that is where we're at right now. We're in the year-end adjustment book.
Same thing.
Absolutely.
All right. Thanks.
All right. No problem. So looking at the balance sheet here, we see that our assets have decreased significantly since our last report. And that is due to the cash going out the door to pay for the debt service. So we have our assets at $507,000. And if you can scroll down for me sometime, and our liabilities at just over $1 million, putting us in a deficit of $532,000. Yep. Right, we can go into all of this. And so looking at our revenues, we see our off-street parking saw the biggest increase in revenues, while our meters and permits increased a minimal amount. Citation revenues were $20,000 higher from the previous year, with our overall revenues increased by $500,000. And yes, that's where we see that there, that $518,000. right. And then we see that our expenditures, they also increased, but they increased by $1 million. So that is what's bringing us to our deficit of $500,000. And then if you roll down just a little bit more, Tom, then there we capture the debt service, showing that our expenditures increased by $1,050,000. And then overall for FY 2024, our deficit is $364,000. We add in the deficit from last year, bringing our total fund balance to the $532,000 deficit. And we can scroll to the next page. And so here we show again our FY 2024 budget compared to the FY 2024 actuals. And if we can just scroll to that bottom line. So this actually shows that we are okay. So those are the revenues on the top and our expenditures on the bottom, showing our deficit of the $364,000. All right, and then this breaks it down as I was going over in the beginning, showing where the off-street meter saw the biggest increase, the meters in on-street just $2,000 more, and then the $20,000 less for our citations. And then our little pie chart showing the same. And then I think we have one more page to show the FY 2025. So here we go. Here's our FY 2025 budget. These are the revenues that we do expect to bring in, is the $5.5 million. And the expenditures, if we roll down just a little more, we see that we are expecting this expenditures to be 4.4. I think that was actually a small discrepancy in preparing the budget. It should actually be balanced. But this is how we'll have to move through FY25 at this point.
Okay. I had a couple of questions on the next year's budget. I think the financial statements I'm comfortable with. But before I go beyond the other parts of the budget, did Glenn or Jeanine have any questions about the financial statements?
I got a quick question about, was it last year, was it fiscal year 23, that 1.5 COVID funds or whatever, is that what that hit? Was that,
yes. Yeah.
Was that in this sheet?
So it was okay. Initially. It's not in the sheets today. And that is because.
I thought I was not seeing it. All right.
Yep. When it was posted for FY23, it was brought in as a revenue, which, of course, that is inaccurate. So it was backed out. And expenditures were moved out of Park Tucson into the other fund so that it could be covered by those COVID relief dollars.
So as far as just the GL goes, that was just them taking expenses out, not throwing that in as revenue.
Yes.
Right. Gotcha. Okay.
Okay. The off-street parking, I noticed, was actually the budget that was projected here was actually less than what our off-street parking revenue was this year. Was that just because it was done ahead of time, or is that was there some reason why we think those revenues are going to be declining?
That is a significant decrease, actually.
Yeah, and I mean it's 130, about 240,000. And if anything, I would expect those revenues to go up. Although we do not have any rate increases in the off-street parking this year, I'm correct about that, right, Tom?
We just had a minor increase to the evening and weekend rates in our garages and surface lots, as well as some permit increases. We were expecting, based on the last year's activity, to have about $130,000 increase to revenue for the off-street park.
So if you put that, we got 114 about 114,000 plus 130,000. So we're about 140 or about 240,000 here plus the 130 that we expected to go up. So I think the projected revenues are low. I mean, from you're complying, I mean, maybe you don't want to, you know, but it looks to me like those projected revenues are low. As I said, it may be too late to do anything about it. And on the on-street parking meters and hooding, this area will have some increases in it. It also, will it not?
It potentially would have an increase. We are proposing to extend the meter enforcement hours. Mm-hmm. I'm going to start outreach on that later this month.
Okay.
The original projections show approximately $500,000 increase based on the option that I'm going to propose to the public, and that's extending the meter hours by 3 hours Monday through Friday till 8 p.m. and adding an additional 12 hours on Saturdays from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m.
But that, because it's not been approved yet, it would be appropriate. It would not be appropriate to add it into the budget. So
I think
that answers my question. Then the citation revenue, I think it's a justified increase, but it has actually been increased. Your revenue this year was $614,000 for round numbers, and it's been increased by about $135,000. So I think that's probably reasonable considering your increase in staffing. So,
exactly.
So those were my questions on the budget. So
yes, sir, that citation revenue, you're absolutely right. Our increase in staffing is why we expected that to increase. Mm-hmm. But those rate increases were not approved when we prepared the budget to be adopted. So I can see why that off-street parking is so low. I actually don't quite expect it to be that low, but it definitely was before those rate increases were approved.
Maybe you know this or Dale, but really what it is, those top six revenue line items are copy and paste from fiscal year 24, correct?
Yes.
Unchanged. They just took that part of it. They tweaked a little bit in your interest earnings and your transfer out. Right?
I said, and the citation.
This budget looked to be a copy and paste of fiscal year 24. Rightfully or wrongfully, that's what it looks like it was done.
Yes, I think that is accurate, sir.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, there was definitely, you know, with the transition with Donovan and Omar leaving and the transition with finance, that unfortunately, you know, there were some changes that should have been incorporated that didn't get into the budget.
Quite honestly, it is what it is. A budget's a budget. To me, forecast is more important.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And from your standpoint, Tom, you know, if they didn't put all the projected revenues that comes in higher, then it's a lot harder if it's set way too high than if it's set low.
Right. Correct. Yeah, that's right.
Okay. Do we have any other comments on the financial statements? Hearing none, I think we can move forward. Future agenda items. I don't have anything to suggest. Does anybody else have anything to suggest?
I mean,
nope, all good.
Okay. Anything you want to talk about here, Tom?
Oh, no, thank you. No, I appreciate all the support and the comments, and planning for next year's budget has already begun. We're taking notes and making sure that we get all the changes necessary into the budget planning cycle.
Okay, great. We appreciate the difficulty of the transition, and I'm glad it's over and we're settling in a little. So, oh, and one other question while I've got it here is, am I correct that we have two more years on the debt service? Or is it three?
So, I started digging into that, and I was a little confused, and I apologize. I wasn't able to finish my analysis on it, but I will, and I will have that information for you on Tuesday.
Yeah, okay, that's fine. Throughout the pandemic, we've been concerned about the fact that, you know, you've got that parking garage, those payments out there, and things will become easier when that point gets here. And keeping that point in mind is, I think, something that we don't want to lose sight of that and how it, you know, where it goes forward. So, obviously whenever you have something that's at approximately $1 million a year payment, it affects your budget unless you have a $1 billion budget. So, and we don't have a $1 billion budget. So anyway, I appreciate it all. Does anybody have anything else for the good of the cause before we go away? Hearing nothing from Glenn or Jean Ann, let's call it quits, and we'll see you all on Tuesday. So,
all right.
Thank you.
Thank you all. Have a good afternoon.
Thank you all. Have a good day.
Thanks. Bye, everybody.
Bye.